from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Derek Shelton Show is brought to you by your local Parmore stores. Remember, if there's not a Parmore store near you now, there will be soon. Of course, we welcome Derek into the program. Hello, Derek. How are you doing today?
What's going on, Paul? How are you today?
I'm good, but you're going to be shocked, but I'm by myself because Joe has another day off.
I heard mini golf event. I don't even know how to comment on a mini golf event. I mean, golf event I get, but mini golf event I don't understand.
Well, again, if you're Joe, like you say, you know, I think what really happened is Joe inherited all of Cookie's vacation days as well. So he has twice as many as the rest of us.
Well, hey, if you can get it, good for him.
Yeah, I guess so. So you'll just have to deal with me today in city limits. I guess I had a number of people who've asked me, and you know, I guess they're all trying to be funny. So I'll start by saying this: is Rowdy Tellez going to be available out of the bullpen tonight after using him twice in the last 3 days or whatever?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that we had to do that. I mean, we went 130 games without having to use a position player. And then because of what's happened over the last couple of days with losing starters early and then losing a reliever with Stratton to an injury earlier the other day, at times, you know, there has to be some preservation of health for your bullpen.
Yeah, and I think what I like the most about it is Rowdy seemed to have fun out there. I mean, he kind of knew, I saw, you know, that some of his pitches were clocked at like 45, 47 miles an hour, but he was effective. But more importantly, I thought he had a great attitude. I thought he was a lot of fun, you know, to watch him out there pitch. I know it's not fun for you because it means the game's going sideways, but he seemed to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think Rowdy has fun doing just about everything he does. So, and you're right, that it's not fun for me. I really don't like pitching position players, but if it's a decision between, you know, saving a reliever to try to win a game the next night, then I'm definitely going to do that.
Yeah, and that's what actually City Limits and I were talking about that earlier, that basically you're trying to make sure that a game that goes sideways like that only affects one game and not like the next two because you've blown out your bullpen. Obviously, the big thing, Derek, is you guys are going to take a look at O'Neill Cruz in center field. Just kind of walk us through why you're doing that. I mean, obviously he's made some errors or whatever at short, but why you're doing that and what you hope to see over the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, I think number one, we know that O'Neill is a really elite athlete, and it's a situation where we kind of think it's best for him to move to center field, best for the Pirates. We have the ability with other people now to cover the shortstop position, but positionally, we just feel it's the best fit for O'Neill right now.
He's obviously, it's going to be a learning curve because he hasn't played much out there clearly. Are you just going to play it by ear, sort of take it one day at a time just to see how it goes? Do you have kind of an idea of how you will evaluate it for the long term?
Well, I think for the long term, the evaluation will come just with him playing. It's one of the reasons that we thought it was important for him to get out there for the last month plus of the season to get game reps, because as we've talked about numerous times on this show, there's nothing better than game reps. There's going to be some growing pains. We realize that. But we also realize that he's a really good athlete. You know, he's been in the outfield a little bit before in the minor leagues, going back a couple years. But we just think he's talented enough that he's going to be able to make the transition.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously his athleticism, his length, all that other good stuff, his speed should play in the outfield. The other part of that is at shortstop, I mean, is Isaiah Kiner Falefa, IKF, is IKF – is he somebody you look at maybe to be your shortstop next year? Is that kind of what you're going to take a look at now over the next, you know, 3 or 4 weeks with him?
Yeah, he's going to be our shortstop over the last month of the season. I mean, going into next year, we have the ability because IKF is still under contract. You know, I'm not ever going to say any position we're going to be solid in terms of what we're going to do next year. But he is going to play there the rest of the year. We know he has the ability to play there at a very high level. And I would say there's a good chance that next year that goes into it. But, you know, speculating on what goes through the offseason or what we do is too hard. But through the rest of the year, through 24, yeah, IKF's going to play short.
That's going to be, you know, I think what we – are probably going to be watching the most is sort of some of these guys. I mean, you have to find out a lot about a lot of these guys. I mean, even a guy like Nick Gonzalez, you know, it seems like as a rookie, he's done some really good things, but he probably has more to go. Obviously, you brought up Henry Davis. I mean, are these next 30 days going to be sort of about trying to find out some more about, you know, some more about some of these players you have?
Well, yeah, I mean, the first and foremost, the next 30 days about winning as many games as possible. But in that time, we're also going to, you know, make sure that we're getting looks at people. I mean, Nick Gonzalez has done a good job since when he was up here before he had the injury. So, you know, he's continued to get a ton of reps at second. We will probably have to monitor his volume over the next week or so and go from there. But, you know, it's important to not only win games, but it's also important to make sure that you know, we have an idea of skill sets of different guys.
Shelty, Ben said on the 18th during his show here on The Fan that O'Neill was the shortstop and saw him there moving forward. I'm curious what's changed for you guys during that time frame and also the conversations that you've had with O'Neill about the change.
Well, number one, the conversations that I've had with O'Neill will stay between O'Neill and I in terms of, you know, what he's going to do, because we keep those conversations in-house. I think that's something that's very important. And like, you know, like I said yesterday, I mean, he's disappointed. Anybody that plays shortstop wants to play shortstop. But O'Neill understands the situation and is a good teammate and has always been a good teammate. And I think to the first point there, Austin, you know, ongoing conversations happen, you know, and we want to make sure that we talk to the player and we have conversations internally before we ever talk about it publicly. We've been that way for the 5 years that we've been here. We will continue to communicate with the player first and foremost.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, the other part of that is I think that it's not necessarily that he can't move back to shortstop, right, if this doesn't work out. I mean, you guys are keeping an open mind on some level, correct?
I think right now we're looking at him as a center fielder. And, you know, I mean, if things change in the future, then we will cross that bridge when we get to it. But right now, we are looking at O'Neill as the center fielder.
Okay, the other guy that's sort of in a similar spot is Henry Davis. He's back. You got Joey Bart has been, I would say, far better than anyone could have hoped. So, I mean, he's obviously somebody that is in the mix to be the catcher next year. I mean, is Henry Davis, I guess, a guy you got to figure out what to do with him or how you're going to handle him? What, you know, how are you going to handle him this next month?
Yeah, Henry's going to catch. I mean, he's going to get reps. I mean, Yasmani Grandal has been very good for us over the last 2 months offensively and has caught an elite level the whole year. And I think to your first point, Paul, like Joey Bart has been a pleasant surprise. I mean, and I think what this shows is, you know, you can't put a timetable on prospects. Joey was a very high pick with the Giants and, you know, came to the big leagues and scuffled a little bit. Has come over here and been, you know, arguably one of our best hitters over the time he's been here and a really important part of our lineup and, you know, someone that we value moving forward. In Henry's case, he's produced at every level in the minor leagues. You know, we're looking for that to translate to the major leagues. He's going to get an opportunity. You know, when Joey comes back, I think we'll cross that bridge when we get there in terms of what we're going to do. But until Joey comes back, well, Henry's going to get some looks.
I think that's what you have in him. The other thing is, and I know the September expanded rosters are not what they used to be, but you're able to bring up a couple of guys, right? From the minors, correct?
Yeah, we can bring up one position player and one pitcher.
Yeah.
So we'll get one on September 1st.
That's what I mean. So you've got some guys in the minors, Jack Suwinski, Levier Peguero, you know, some of these guys that you probably even Nick York, you probably need to figure out some things with those guys too. I mean, is that going to be a hard decision? Figure out which one of those guys you're going to bring up, or you kind of have a plan?
Yeah, well, that's something we're still talking through. I mean, obviously, Kutch is going to come back at some point too, so that adds back to our roster. And then, you know, the decision of when and if we get a look at different guys, it doesn't necessarily have to be September 1st. You know, it's a situation where Indianapolis plays until the middle of the month. I think it could be a situation where we let guys play down there and then make a decision later, because we need to make sure that they get reps. But we do have some decisions to make over the course of the next, not only, it's not really the next 4 or 5 days, but it's over the course of, you know, the next 2 weeks. We also have Holderman, Majinski, Baruchy down on rehab. So we're going to have some decisions to make, not only with guys that are prospects, but guys that, you know, have been part of our club this year.
Shelty, when we talked to you last week, Ke'Bryan Hayes was being looked at by doctors, and you guys were getting a couple opinions on what's going on with his back injury. Have you learned anything new in the past week regarding Hayes, and could he potentially return this season?
Yeah, I think there's our hope is he returns this season. He still is having some more tests run. He's having some more tests run today, so we should have a better indicator of where we're at. But our hope is that Key is back on the field this season.
Derek, what do we call it? Trade acquisitions was Brian De La Cruz. Obviously got off to a rough start when he was here, but seems like he's swinging the bat a little bit better. Have you been a little bit more pleased with what you've seen from him recently?
Yeah, definitely pleased. I think he's got 8 or 9 RBIs in the last 5 or 6 games, more productive at bats. Looks like he's calmed down a little bit and not trying to do too much. You know, driving the ball to right field, which I think is important. You know, using the middle of the field, where early on it was kind of more rotation off and not as effective swings. But he's done a much better job over the last probably 7 to 10 games.
Is he another player that you're kind of going to take this next month to try and figure out what you have in him?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that we have under control for next year, and like you said, a guy we acquired at the deadline. So, you know, Dale's still going to be a guy that's going to be in our mix and get at bats.
Someone who seems to be kind of lost in the shuffle this year because he hasn't been able to pitch, Shelty, is Johan Oviedo. How's he progressing through the Tommy John surgery, and what is the potential timeline for him moving forward as we go into the fall?
Yeah, he's doing great. I mean, his rehab is going well. He's down in Bradenton at Pirate City. You know, our group down there has general touch-ins with him, but everything is progressing nicely. You know, he's a guy that is a part of our future through almost 180 innings last year. Really good stuff. I mean, it's just going to solidify what we think is going to be a really good starting rotation next year. Now, obviously, coming off Tommy John, there will be, you know, limitations to some respect in terms of innings and volume, and we will figure out that when we get there. But, you know, we're excited to get him back and healthy. And it's, as everyone knows, when you have Tommy John, you just have to do the rehab and you have to spend the time working through the throwing program and working through the mound progression to get back into games.
Well, your rotation obviously is going to get a little bit of a boost tonight, right? You got Jared Jones back, and Destiny's Child, the premier scout in baseball, said that he saw him in Columbus, and he looks like he's back. So, what are your thoughts on getting Jared Jones back?
Yeah, I'm excited to get Jared back. I mean, you know, obviously the lat injury derailed what was really a good start to his rookie year. So the most important thing for us now is just continue to build his volume and have him finish strong. You know, I think like we've talked about in a case with Skeens and some other young players, finishing a major league season is something that's very important. So getting Jared back when we did, tonight on the mound, and then just building his volume from here on out is really important to us, because he really had a good start to his rookie year.
And you look at with Jared Jones and Skeens, and you just talked about Oviedo, and you've got Bailey Falter, and you've got Ortiz, and you've got Mitch Keller. I mean, you're going to have a lot of options, aren't you, for your starting rotation next year?
Yeah, we are, and I think one of the most important, if not the most important thing, is quality starters and quality starter depth, and we feel that we're building that. We're gonna, like you said, with like Austin said, we're going to get Oviedo back. That's really important. So starter depth is something that's extremely valuable to us, and we feel like we have a good core there.
Nick Gonzalez also back at second base. The value that he brings to the team, I think we saw it earlier this season, Shelty, when he came up at one point, he was, I think he had 8 RBIs that were considered game-winning RBIs since he was first recalled. How important is he to the lineup coming back now, but also moving forward as somebody that you could potentially put in the middle of the order?
Yeah, I mean, very important because of what you highlighted there, the ability to drive in runs and produce runs. And that is a component to our lineup that is extremely important. Nick has shown the ability to do that in a short period of time in the big leagues, and it's important to get him back. It's important for him to finish the year strong, and he's a nice addition back to our lineup. I mean, he had good swings last night, which was good to see, and just hope for him to continue to build on that over the last month of the season.
The one position that, you know, there's probably a question for next year, and mostly because your guy, Rowdy Tellez, is a free agent, is at first base. Do you feel like you have internal options there? Is that something you're going to have to go look externally for? And obviously, I guess if Tellez is an option, that would be an internal option as well. You know, have you guys started to have conversations about first base yet?
No, we have not had any conversations about 2025 in terms of, you know, what we're going to do there. Rowdy's done a really nice job over the last, you know, since June 1st. I mean, he's been really productive and been a really good baseball player on both sides of the ball. So I think as we get into the offseason, you know, we'll explore our internal options, people we have, you know, what the market looks like, and then kind of go from there. But as of now, we have not started talking about that situation at all.
Shelty, do you think there's any chance that we could see Bubba Chandler or Braxton Ashcraft in the majors this year?
Yeah, I think it's a situation where as we get closer to the middle of the end of September, we'll decide what we're going to do with our younger top-end prospects.
The ability to be called up obviously is a big deal for minor leaguers or guys that, you know, it used to be you could reward guys because you could call up a bunch of guys, but now it's not, right? I mean, you basically are bringing somebody up that actually can add real value to the team.
Yeah, since they changed the rules, I mean, it used to be anybody that was on your 40-man roster could come to the big leagues. And, you know, I can remember when I first started coaching in the big leagues, you'd see teams with 39, 40 guys, you know, especially, you know, teams in September that were trying to get looks at guys or trying to match up. That can't happen anymore. They've changed the rules, so it's one. So you have to be a little more finite in terms of what you're doing, how you're doing it, you know, what you're adding. A little bit of it has to do with because you can only add the one guy in September, if there's not at-bats or not innings, you know, you almost may be in a situation where they're staying in AAA to make sure they get reps because they would be in the big leagues and not getting reps because of their positional value or the position that someone else is playing there. So it definitely has changed over the course of how roster restrictions have come into play.
Yeah, I mean, and that goes with the whole, you know, having to use Rowdy to pitch the last few nights. I mean, if we got into September back in the day, you'd have a whole bunch of guys down there you could throw out there. But how is your bullpen positioned now for the next few nights?
It's in better situation than it was last night. I will say that. I mean, you know, it's getting better, and we have the off day on Thursday, so that helps. But, you know, last night we were in a situation, and I was asked about it post game. I mean, in a deficit game, we basically had Herman and Feigl, and, you know, you're not going to use Bednar, you're not going to use Chap. We had three guys that were down, you know. Heller, his volume had been high with multiple innings, and again, the game kind of got out of hand. And it's a situation at times where you have guys and they have to cover innings, and unfortunately, last night it didn't work out that well.
Yeah, I mean, and tonight you might have mentioned this earlier, but is there any restrictions on how many innings you're going to let Jared pitch?
Because I think we'll monitor him. He's had 3 starts in the minor leagues, so he will definitely be monitored. I don't know if we have a set limit in terms of innings, but we will definitely monitor how his stuff plays and how he looks.
All right, Derek, well, thank you so much again for joining, and you know, always great stuff, and hopefully you can next week have the opportunity to talk to Joe again.
Yeah, well, don't wish that upon me.
Yeah, of course. All right,
I'll talk to you guys. Have a good week.
All right, thanks,
Shelty.
We'll see you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well, Nathan Peterman, Ben DiNucci, both been cut. So two former Pitt guys, right? We saw that Jimmy Morrissey is going to be a practice squad guy with the Giants. They cut him, but they're going to keep him as a practice squad guy. Any names that interest you so far from this waiver wire that has been heating up for the last, 24 hours?
Yes, Noah Brown, the wide receiver that was just cut by the Texans. He is kind of a fast guy. 567 receiving yards last season. He is probably the best wide receiver that's been cut so far. And, I mean, I don't think it would be a problem for the Steelers just to pick this guy up instead of Dez Fitzpatrick. 33 catches, 567, and 2 touchdowns last year in Houston. And he was also, I don't want to say blocked, but they had other guys there.
So I know they picked up Stephon Diggs.
Right, they have Stephon Diggs.
So
they have John Mechie still there. It seems like they're going to keep Mechie because they're not keeping Noah Brown.
So my point is,
Nico Collins is there.
He just became expendable is what you're saying.
Who?
Noah Brown.
Oh, yeah, he did. That's a very crowded wide receiver room.
Yeah. 567 yards, 17.2 per catch is something that would interest me. 2 touchdowns. You know, 6'2", 225. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The only thing that concerns me is I'm looking at this thing right now. Does he have some sort of an injury? He's listed as questionable. Does he have some sort of an injury? Uh-oh. This time it's not me looking it up.
I'm using my first Paul pause of the day.
Right.
I have one remaining, unless this one's very good. Noah Brown has a shoulder injury. It's currently thought of as a minor injury, though.
Okay.
So well, not something that's going to be long-term and potentially hamper him for the season or anything.
Right,
like that.
That's the question I have then, right? That's the question I have.
Probably just got caught up in a logjam of a deep wide receiver room.
Yeah, yeah. If they've got a lot of people, for sure.
The Panthers are releasing wide receiver Terrence Marshall.
Right.
He was a former second-round pick. Remember Terrence Marshall with LSU? He had 17 touchdowns that one year with Joe Burrow. Was dominant. Now he's being cut by Carolina.
Well, here's an interesting one. You want to talk about a quarterback class that is just turning into a dumpster fire.
Oh, yeah. Hello, 2022.
The Cardinals just released Desmond Ridder.
Wow. They traded for him from Atlanta.
I mean, they got rid of Desmond Ridder. I just saw whoever had Matt Corral, they just cut him. Matt Corral was in that class, wasn't he? Penny Pickett, basically the Steelers got rid of, they basically gave up on him.
So Pony tweeted this out. This is the entire 2022 NFL quarterback draft class. Kenny Pickett traded to Philly. Desmond Ridder traded to Arizona and now has been cut. Malik Willis traded to Green Bay. Matt Corral cut. Bailey Zappe, New England, cut. Sam Howell, Washington, traded to Seattle. Chris Oladokun, the 2-time Super Bowl champ, cut. Skylar Thompson is Miami's backup. The lone remaining starter, the lone remaining, I guess, relevant quarterback, Brock Purdy, San Francisco 49ers.
Mr. Irrelevant. Think about the names of some of those guys that were picked ahead of Brock Purdy.
We knew it wasn't a good quarterback class, but this has to be one of the top 5 worst quarterback classes ever.
Well, the whole thing about it, too, is if Brock Purdy, was performing You know what I'm saying? Like, on if he was performing like you would think a seventh round pick would perform, in other words, he was not performing like he is, I think you could make a strong case this was the worst class ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely could, but I'm looking for the right one here. Here it is. One of the worst classes in the history of the NFL draft has to be the, remember the Jake Locker draft?
So what year
was Tennessee?
That? What year was that? Because I have some that are pulled up that are really, really bad.
That was the 2011 class.
All right.
Cam Newton was in that, though. In terms of quarterbacks, Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder were some of the quarterbacks that were taken in that draft. About, those were first rounders.
How about 2013? EJ Manuel, Geno Smith, Mike Glennon, Matt Barkley, and Landry Jones.
That one's worse.
That's
completely worse.
And here's another one. 1996, Tony Banks, Bobby Hoying, Jeff Lewis, Danny Cannell, and Damon Ward.
That's bad as well.
That's really bad.
But 2022 might be the worst of them all.
Yeah, and then here's another one that's just awful. And because the first pick was the number one overall pick, it might be worse than 2022, right, in terms of where these guys were picked. Are you ready for this class? 2007, Jamarcus Russell.
Yes, what a way to start.
First rounder, Brady Quinn. Second rounder, Kevin Kolb.
Yeah, he wasn't very good either. Was he the best one out of those three?
Second rounder, John Beck. Second rounder, Drew Stanton.
Drew Stanton played a while as a backup.
Third rounder, Trent Edwards.
Is Jamarcus Russell the biggest bust in NFL history?
You've got to be very close. Him or Ryan Leaf, I'm sure. And then Matt Moore was in that class, and he might have been the best of all of them.
He played a while. Is that the same Matt Moore that got leveled by Bud Dupuis in a playoff game?
Yes. Matt Moore. He might have been the best of that entire group.
I think he probably was.
That's just tell you. That just tells you everything you need to know. Matt Moore, 32 career starts, 49 touchdowns, 36 interceptions. It's pretty clear he was the star of this group, is what this guy writes about that class. But 2022, I mean, what is going on with that group?
The Cardinals will have Clayton Tune. He's going to be the one singing the tune of the backup quarterback this year, not Desmond Ridder.
Clayton Tune.
Clayton Tune.
Yeah.
Tune up your guitar and get that song going.
Where did he play? He's a West guy. Isn't he a guy from the West? Or no, he's Houston. He's Houston. Houston Cougars. I'm pretty sure he's Houston Cougars, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. All right, so you got some names that are, you know, being cut and brought through. I do like the idea of Noah Brown. And I do like the idea of maybe bringing in Noah Brown. And here's why. If you can bring him in, you could probably put the whole Ayuk thing to rest. Honestly. Not that he's as good as Ayuk. I'm not saying that. But he probably fills your need to at least have another. I think he's better than the other guys that they have.
I agree that he's better than the other guys that they have, but I don't think that it discounts the Ayuk situation. I think they could probably still add Noah Brown for no draft capital at all. You add him as an extra wide receiver, and you can still go get Brandon Ayuk. Adding Noah Brown doesn't handicap you to still trade for Ayuk, especially if you keep six receivers like Ray Fittipaldo thinks they're going to do. I think they're only going to keep five, but hypothetically, they keep six. You can make Noah Brown, that's six, and you can make Brandon Ayuk one of those five wide receivers in there.
Yeah.
With Brown as the sixth guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you but again, if you get Ayuk, I guess it changes everything, doesn't it? It changes everything about this team.
Well, it makes them so much deeper at wide receiver.
Right.
So much better as an offense. And I think the odd part about that is, are we considering Brandon Ayuk a top 10 wide receiver in football? Like, is he?
He's close.
And you're paying him $30 million to be a top five, pretty much.
He's close. I don't know if he's top 10. I don't know. He's definitely not top five, but he's probably top 10.
He's probably eight.
I would have to think about all the guys that are out there. Obviously, that's one of those things where we would have to play the pawpaws thing for about 5 minutes for us to really go through the whole list of who's what and figure out exactly where he's at. But
Let's just name off the top of my head. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase is better. Cooper Kupp's better. Amon-Ra St. Brown is better. Tyreek Hill is better. I think Jaylen Waddle is better. Deebo Samuel is better. DK Metcalf is better.
Wow.
Those are just eight guys that I can rattle off right off the top of my head. CeeDee Lamb is better by far.
Puka Nacua.
I'd rather have Puka Nacua than Brandon Ayuk, yes.
A.J. Brown, Did you name him?
No, I did not. I'd rather have A.J. Brown.
All right.
That's 11.
Mike Evans.
12.
Keenan Allen.
No, I'd rather have Ayuk.
Diggs.
I'd rather have Diggs, 13. So Brandon Ayuk is a top 15 wide receiver.
Chris Olave?
Olave. No, I'd rather have Ayuk. I kind of think he's a product of that system in San Francisco. It's definitely a big help.
Amari Cooper.
No, I'd rather have Ayuk. Especially at the age that he's at.
So we're talking he's in the 10 to 15 range.
He's 10 to 15, yeah.
Yeah, there's no way they could pay him $30 million.
But they're going to have to. I mean, if they want him. That's the only solution at this point. Or you just try to stack up a couple of third wide receivers, like what a Noah Brown is. But how much is that going to change anything? And I also wonder, from their perspective, if they think this is a Super Bowl type of team, if they think Russell Wilson is that good to be able to take him to the Super Bowl, or win a playoff game even, let's just win a playoff game before Super Bowl is even uttered out of anybody's mouth, then I think that they'll eventually make the Brandon Ayuk move and find a way to push it over the front. Push it over the finish line, I guess.
Yeah. Here we go. Wait, what?
CJ Beathard's been released.
Oh, Sam Hartman.
The Notre Dame quarterback.
Cut.
Yeah. He was undrafted?
He'll be a practice squad guy. Eagles are releasing John Ross.
The wide receiver.
Yeah.
Is that the guy Cincinnati drafted 9th overall, just literally could run and hasn't done anything in the NFL?
Well, I mean, there's so many guys now. I love the Jaguars, though. Here's how the Jaguars did it, right? Everyone else has been, like, piecing it together. The Jaguars just said, to hell with it. Here's our list. So we have, let's see. There's not many names on this list of Jaguars that got cut. I mean, C.J. Beathard, I think, didn't he start a playoff game maybe or something like that? Pretty much, obviously, Terrell Edmonds is somebody we're familiar with. Not a whole lot else to get really all that excited about. So that's the Jaguars, but that's what I wish all these teams would do. Just say to hell with it. Everyone's gone, right? Everybody's gone.
Well, I mean, that's eventually what the list is going to be for most NFL teams. But the Steelers have done it in a couple different increments.
I love how the Jaguars just said, here they are. Here's all the list.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.